What up, COC? How are you today? You doing all right? Man, this morning we sent 50-plus teenagers off to camp on a big, huge bus to San Diego. Who would like to be going to San Diego right now? Can I get an amen? What? Yes, that would be awesome. Hey, I'm so excited that they're there, and I'm thankful for our leaders that are taking them. Let's be in prayer for them this week. Camp moments can be incredible moments for kids and life-changing events. So let's be in prayer for them this week. It's good to be back with you guys. Ben and Matt have done a tremendous job over the last several weeks. Have they not done an awesome job? Great job. Thank you for your prayers. I have been a little sick. It's been a little bit of a planned sabbatical and a little bit of time off. I got sick in it, and then also my son Caleb got sick in it, so it's just kind of like, but I'm feeling good, and I'm glad to be back. I might have a scratch in my throat here or there and have to cough or whatever, but it's great to be back with you guys. I've missed you. Are you glad to be here again? Awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. Hey, let's get into our brand new series today that we're starting called Aha. Aha. Everybody say that with me on the count of three. One, two, three. Aha. 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 Very excited about this series, and it's about a little bit having a spiritual aha moment. Now, let me start here. According to an article in the New York Magazine, it was reported that the self-help movement in America was an $11 billion industry, which is basically all about this. If you're unfamiliar with the self-help movement, it's about this. It's basically telling you, or somebody telling you, how you can improve your life in certain areas of your life. And there's over 45,000 self-help books in print that are out there as well. And here's the top five most popular self-help themes. Maybe you can relate. Diet and exercise, number one. Number two, improving your marriage. Number three, getting control of your finances. Number four, stress management. And number five, overcoming your addictions. So it appears that there are self-help books, materials, articles, shows that promise you life transformation that are basically everywhere and anywhere that you turn or look. However, here's the problem that I have with that a little bit, and you probably can relate. I think it's safe to say that all of us know that something's wrong with ourselves. Right? Something is wrong with you, and there's something wrong with me. And most of us, when it comes to maybe one of those ideas, most of us actually even know what that thing is that we would like to change. But here's the hard truth and reality to self-help. If self-help could really help, then we would all have been fixed a long time ago. Can I get an amen? Amen. Right? That's the problem with self-help. So the journey I kind of want to take you on over the next 3 weeks is really simple. Here it is in a nutshell. Change, real significant change, actually begins with the rejection of self-help's offer. Real change actually happens with a rejection of yourself's help of offer. Offer of help. Something like that, right? And instead of self-help, here's what brings real change. Instead of self-help, you actually humble yourself to ask for God's help. And it's in those moments where you have a true aha spiritual awakening that you humbly ask God. That is when you will have a spiritual aha moment. Because it not only brings a spiritual experience, it brings about supernatural change in your life. So, more specifically, kind of if you're a note taker and you want to write things down, here's kind of aha in a flowing form. And then I'm going to give you the 3 points of aha in a minute. But here it is in kind of a flowing form. Aha, it goes something like this. A sudden recognition that leads to an honest moment that brings a lasting change. That I think with that troublesome area in all of our lives. I think if we all were saying, I would like a change in this particular area, I think that explains what an aha moment is, especially if it's a spiritual related incident. We would like a sudden recognition that leads to an honest moment that actually brings a lasting change. That is what a spiritual aha moment looks like. Now, when Jesus would talk about spiritual transformations, he would often use what I've shared with you before and tell these stories called parables. They were made up stories, but he would connect them and kind of bring them down a level to his audience so they could make the connections and the dots connect in their own lives, and it would make sense to them. And I think there's a parable that speaks loudly and boldly of what a spiritual aha moment is like better than most. And I think you're going to recognize the story. So I'm just going to kind of read it for you. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn there as well. It's in Luke chapter 15. And it'll make sense for some of you that have been in church for a while as I start reading it. But this is it. And this is going to be our kind of our main idea and our main scripture in this entire series. All right, here's how it started. Jesus continued, and there was a man who had two sons. The younger son said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country. And there he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. This is a key verse for today's idea. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I know what I'll do. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, something radical happened. His father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran out to meet his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." It is in this prodigal son story that you can find three very specific spiritual aha ideas. I'm going to give them to you up front. We're going to talk about them each week. Here's the very first one, all right, that we're going to talk about today. Sudden awakening. A sudden awakening. The second one is this. It's brutal honesty. That should be a fun week, yeah? That's next week. That's why we're only doing one service next week. We don't want to be too bad and too harsh on people. Brutal honesty. And the third one is immediate action. Immediate action. Because after all, remember, we're looking for a sudden recognition that leads to an honest moment that actually leads to lasting change. That leads us to lasting change. You see, friends, aha begins with where you're at right now, which happens to be for many of us, or many of us before in our lives, before we found our way back to the Father's house. But you found yourself in what this parable says, and what we'll call for just kind of an example, as in a distant country. The distant country can best be defined as where you walked away from God. Where you walked away from God. Where is the distant country? So I'm going to help you out today, and I'm going to help you discover. If some of you are struggling and you find yourself far from Jesus today, you're in a distant country. I just help you out with that. But you don't know exactly where you're at in that distant country, so I'm going to help you with that. I'm going to help you the way I would help anybody in a counseling session. I'm going to tell you, this is the place, right, that you definitely, I don't like that pen right there. It's too thin. I like wider. Amen. Okay. This is where you want to be. This is your Father's house. That's a good place to be. We just sang about it, right? You're a good Father, right? That's where we want to be. Can I get an amen? But the problem is you're hard-headed, and so am I. And we travel throughout our life, even after saying yes to Jesus and realizing that's the best house on the planet. That's the best house in the world. And there's no better place to be but in the Father's house. We think we've got better ideas and it could be better. So we depart, like this prodigal son, on a journey. Oh, stay still. Known. All right, I got to write this down, though, so you understand. The Father's house is right here. And we travel because we think we know how to do life better to a distant country. And you're like, okay, but how do I know where I'm at in the distant country? Can you see that over there? There we go. All right, I'm gonna help you out. I'm going to break this down for you. If you got a sheet of paper and you want to draw this, that's cool because you probably do it better than me. But you got your Father's house, you got a distant country. So in this distant country, I just want you to write, you can just write 3 on each side. That's fine. Right? 3 lines. And here's kind of a brutal, honest moment for you. But here's what I want you to write on these lines if you want to know where you're at in the distant country. Write down on these lines, where in your life is God not welcome? Or better yet, where has he never been welcome? Friends, if you can be honest enough to write down where God is not welcome in your life, you're going to discover today where you are in your distant country and how far you are in the distant country away from the Father's house. See, here's what I know so far. How we ended up where we are in the distant country. Hey, listen, it's not always that clear. How did we take that first step this direction or that direction? You know, how we did that, it's not always clear. But there are several reasons why we leave our Father's house for a distant country. But the Bible is extremely clear on how we ended up where we get in the distant country. We either bought a ticket for a bus, bought an air ticket on a plane, or we got in a vehicle, which are all 3 modes of transportation. And in Isaiah 59, it says that sin separates us from the Father. In Romans chapter 3, it tells us that we are all sinners and fall short of the glory of God. Aren't you glad you came to church today for the pastor to sit here and say, sinner, 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 sinner. I'm a sinner too. That's all right. I've gotten in it. But here's what I want you to get more than anything else. If you can't understand that you got in a vehicle called sin that separated you from your Father, and it got you farther and farther and farther away from your Father's house, which is the best place that you want to be. If you can't recognize that it's sin that got you away from the Father's house, you will really, really wrestle with having a spiritual aha moment in your life. And you won't even be able to get to the first part, which is even just having a sudden awakening. Which that's what we're talking about today. Because I kind of want to bring awake or bring alive what it is, where those places are where God might not be welcome in your life. So that's the overarching question, is where are you in the distant country? That's what the big question of today is. Where are you in the big country? In the big country. I'm sorry, I just went country music on you right now. That's what I want to talk to you about. And no matter what the reason that you left for, I don't know, they're all different. Here's what I do know, being in ministry long enough and dealing with enough people that have been in the distant country long enough. In almost all of them, it leaves people desperate in their lives. Leaving the Father's house leaves you in dire straits and in desperate moments. It just does. Now, here's the good news, just so you understand. What I believe you're going to discover in this parable over the next few weeks is that even though you turned your back on God, you bought the keys to the sin car to travel to a distant country, and you walked away, here's what you're always going to discover. When you can finally have a sudden awakening in your life, wherever you're at in your distant country, and you cry out to God, and he gets you there because you can't self-help yourself back there, you will always find the Father relentlessly looking for you, ready to rescue you and pull you back home. That's what you're going to find. It's okay to clap here, you know what I'm saying, every once in a while. That's all cool. It's all good. You're not clapping for me, you're clapping for Jesus. So, the prodigal son had that moment. He came to a place in which he realized, I have no other place to turn in my life. And nowhere else to go. And I finally understand that there's nothing I can do to help myself. So, I'm going to go back to my Father to ask him for his help. And that's when he made it back home. It starts with a humble request and God's help. So let's talk briefly about the first idea today was sudden awakening, which is the very first A in the okay? You know what I'm talking about? So this is the awakening. Next week we'll talk honesty, and the next week we'll talk action. All right, so the first particular aha in sudden awakening, in particular with coming to your senses. Coming to your senses. How many of you know what this is? Raise your hand. Yell it out for me. What is this? Okay, and what is one of the most important uses of this clock that we all use? That didn't help me. I'll help you out. What wakes you up in the morning? Alarm. Some of you, my wife, elbow to the gut. No. The alarm. The alarm. How many of you love the alarm? Can I get an amen? Yeah. How many of you out there would say, when it comes to my alarm, I'm a sleeper and I don't even hear the alarm? Raise your hand. Nice. Honest. I love it. How many of you out there, this takes real guts, how many of you would say, I'm actually a snorer? And I snore so loud, I can't even hear the alarm. How many out there? Anybody? Ladies, point out your husbands, or guys, point out your wives if they're a snorer as well. I don't care. There you are. All right. Now, okay, let's do this one. How many of you out there, this is the big category. How many of you out there are snoozers, and you just keep pushing it for more time? Can I get an amen? Look at all those sinners out there. I love it. Listen, here's the analogy of my alarm today, all right? If you like subtle humor, you'll get this. The effectiveness, here's what I've come to terms and determine about alarm clocks. The effectiveness of the alarm is in direct correlation to how much you don't want to hear it. Amen? Yeah. In other words, until your desire not to hear the alarm outweighs your desire to keep sleeping, you're never going to wake up. You're never, ever going to wake up. Similarly, when we're talking about our idea, a sudden awakening usually doesn't take place until God finally gets your attention. You finally come to a realization and you wake up when the alarm sounds and you realize, oh my gosh, I'm in a distant, distant country, far, far away from my Father's house. The prodigal son experienced a sudden awakening in Luke 15, 17, which reads, and you should probably go to your Bibles at some point in time and highlight or underline these words, but this was his sudden awakening. He came to his senses. You know, I really wanted to name this week 2x4 to your head. Or punch you in the face week one. Because you will never hear the alarm or wake up if you can't come to your senses and realize you've walked away from God. You will never. And yeah, I will preach it today. Thank you for that encouragement. I haven't preached for like 5 weeks, so I got a lot built up right now. Just so you know. Nothing changed for the prodigal son until he came to his senses. Until he realized, this is not a part of the plan. This is not how I envisioned it going and playing out when I asked my father for what was mine, which wasn't really even his. This is not what I anticipated happening. One moment he was sleeping, and the next moment he was wide awake because he had an aha. An aha. Have you had a moment like this in your distant country? Some of you have. Some of you have had many aha moments. Some of you, I believe I'm speaking to, and you're in the distant country, and the alarm is sounding today, and you can't hear it. You won't hear it. But here's what I want more than anything is in this series. Do not think about somebody that needs to hear this message or this series. You need to listen to the alarm in your life right now, because chances are you still have a lease on a car called sin that you have the keys to and you can get in anytime. Just remember, all right? Maybe this will help you out if you've ever had a moment like this. Maybe just trigger some thinking. A man struggles with his drinking. He manages to keep it a secret for a really, really long time. And years upon years, battle upon battle, he eventually discovers that it has taken him, it has overtaken him and into deeper places than he had ever imagined. And suddenly, one day, the alarm goes off. And he looks around and he realizes, I've lost everything. Maybe this will ring a bell. A wife in her mid-30s returns home one night after meeting up with a high school sweetheart that she reconnected with on Facebook. Private messages had begun to lead to private meetings, and she felt like she did back in high school with that guy. And then one day, the alarm goes off when she discovers that someone saw her walk out of that hotel room last weekend with somebody that wasn't her husband. And they confronted her and said, you will either tell your husband or I will. That's an alarm. That's what an alarm sounds like. How about this one? A young girl in high school actually believed her boyfriend when he said, if you love me, you will have sex with me. And now she sits with trembling hands as she holds a positive pregnancy test, wondering how in the world am I going to tell my mom and dad? That's an alarm sounding. Or the husband who logged off the website last night late, certain that he had deleted all the history from the computer as his wife sleeps peacefully in the other room, but knowing deep down, I'm probably committing adultery against her with my thought life. But he can't break the pattern, only to wake up the next morning to his 10-year-old son who turned on the computer screen and cries out, Mom, what is this picture of? And he hears the discussion and questions from his 10-year-old son with his wife from the other room. That's an alarm. Here's the hard reality, friends, that you must simply get today. I have been doing this too long, so I will shoot straight forward with you. Sooner or later, in the distant country, the alarm's gonna sound. You may think that you ain't hearing it, but you just snoring through it. You may think that it's not going off, but you're just sleeping through it. You may think that you can have just a little bit extra time so you can snooze through it. But I'm here to tell you, the alarm's going to sound in your distant country. The question is, are you finally going to wake up and come to your senses? Maybe the bigger question today, a little closer to home for somebody sitting here, I don't know who you are, you just need to hear me say this. What are the alarms that might be sounding in your life right now? The scriptures give us a few examples of how God sounds the alarm. And matter of fact, oftentimes they sound early enough to wake us up before actually things fall apart. And isn't that the purpose of an alarm anyway? Right? The purpose of the alarm is not to get me up right on time. The purpose of the alarm is to get me up so I have a chance to get ready, get prepared, eat breakfast, drink my 16 cups of coffee, and make my way up to Phoenix behind the slow driver in the left lane that I got to account for 30 more minutes for. So I need to get up that much earlier as they're driving in the slow lane. You know who you are. Lord, wake them up today. That's an allowance. That's it. You know, that is just where God is not allowed is left lane 347. You're in a distant country if you were in the left lane on the 347 driving slower than fast lane. All right, how do I get back to this? God has several ways of sounding the alarm. What if he's trying to sound the alarm today? I mean, you know what I'm saying? To save you from heartbreak in the distant country later. Here's one of the ways that he does that, and he says this in 2 Chronicles 36, 15. It says, speaks of one of the ways that God sounds the alarm to warn his children. It reads, and the Lord God of their fathers, that's father, right, that we're talking about, sent warnings to them, sounded the alarms by his messengers. And it says, rising up early and sending them. Now, the expression, just to help you understand the Bible if it's unfamiliar to you, the expression rising up early doesn't actually mean that God got out of bed early. It's not what it means. It's best understood that taking action early. In context, it means he sounded the alarm. Listen, he sounded the alarm as quickly as the problems were perceived. The moment that you bought a car called sin and started driving away to the distant country, I guarantee you, God started sounding alarms. I guarantee you, he has. And then this is the beautiful part about why this is the best place on the planet or in the world. This is why he sounds the alarm as soon as they're perceived. Because he had compassion on them. God sounds alarms in your life because he loves you and he doesn't want you to leave his house. Wow. I mean, think about this. Who has children? Raise your hands. That's children. Awesome. Back in the day when your kids were, you know, 6, 7, 5, 3, those younger ages, what does a good parent do when your child's about ready to reach up and touch a hot stove? What does a good parent do when they see their son or daughter running around the side of the swimming pool when they're inside looking, washing the dishes, and they're getting too close? What does a good parent do? A good parent tells them, stop. You are in immediate danger. They sound the alarm. And then a great parent goes further and says, this is why you're in great danger, because this might happen to you if you go to that distant country. Think about this. Here's some ways that God rises up. I just thought some general ideas of ways that God rises up early and sounds the alarm with you in your life if you're in a distant country. Number one, his word. That's the Bible. B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone in the word of God, B-I-B-L-A. That's the Bible. His word, just at the right time. I think many of you, if you have been in the Father's house and you're a child of God for any amount of years, you would agree that there has been a moment or time or two in your life that you have had a word from the Lord, that you received in a good, godly Christian book, in a message that someone's preached, or in reading the Bible. And you was like, is that an alarm? So then you resort to this. I don't think about that, so I'm just going to do this one. All right. Song of Solomon, I like that one. That's one of the ways that God sounds the alarm in your life. The word of God just at the right time. And I'm here to tell you, I know this because God has inspired this message long before today, and this message was even delivered. I know today there is a word from God for somebody that's here today. And the question will be, will you get out of bed or will you hit the snooze? Here's another way. This is a good one. This is one that we always ignore. The words of somebody godly in your life. The words of somebody godly in your life. I love this passage of scripture. Proverbs 27:6 reads, wounds from a friend can be trusted. Whoa. Every one of us probably have that godly voice in our life that tells us something that we don't want to hear, and we're just like, shh. Don't tell, no. That speaks the truth, and it's exactly what you need to hear, but it's rarely what you want to hear. Shut your face and listen to that voice. Because wounds, it's going to hurt, tells us. What they tell you is going to be truth. It's going to hurt, but they can be trusted. A good friend can be used by God to sound the alarm. Are you listening? Are you sleeping right through it? Here's one. Future consequences. Sometimes the alarm comes in the form of a sampling of future consequences. God's like, with his overwhelming compassion and love and care and mercy for you, he's like, I just don't know if I want to release the hounds of, you know, heaven on them just yet. So he just gives you a taste of what's going to happen. I call those coincidental inconveniences. Coincidentally, that inconvenience happened on purpose. Coincidental inconvenience. Are you listening to the alarm? When you get a taste of what's coming? Or how about this one? This is great for mentorship and discipleship. The examples of others before us. That's another way God sounds the alarm. And you think life group isn't for you? When you can learn from somebody that's been here and you're here and says, you don't want to go here? Go sell your sin car now and start running home. Because this person has something for you? Because they learned how long and hard it took for them to get back there? Or here? Or here? That's how God sounds the alarm. Here's what you need to do with this first idea on coming to your senses. If you found yourself in any of those above mentioned alarm sounding areas of your life, right, and you've discovered sin has separated you from God and you're in a distant country, my prayer for you is today is this, that you would do this and nothing else today, that you would pray for an awakening today. You would pray for an awakening. Listen to the alarm. Stop sleeping through it. Stop snoring through it. Stop snoozing it. Borrowing more time that you don't have and come to your senses and wake up. And wake up. Here's the second part of aha. In particular with desperate moments. Desperate moments. I think it's safe to say in high school, or when I was a youth pastor, we did... we did this activity called Root Awakenings. It was fun. And I'm going to explain what it means. But I think where I'm going with this is rude awakenings, right, lead to desperate moments. When desperate moments happen, we realize I need some help with something. But we did this thing called, you know, rude awakenings. And what I would do is I would, as the youth pastor, work out with the parent prior to, for that weekend, and say, hey, listen, here's what I'm going to do. About 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm coming over with all of my counselors. They're going to have Halloween masks on. I'm gonna have you know, a loaded water gun, probably more than that, two or three. There's gonna be silly string. A couple guys are gonna have ghetto blasters, because that's what we called it back in the day. They were ghetto blasters, right? And here's what we're gonna do is we're gonna come and because the parent had to agree that it was all right and work with us on that. So they needed to make sure that child was completely oblivious to this happening, and second, that their child went to bed, you know, dressed. Because it would be a really rude awakening if they didn't go to bed dressed. But they were working with us, and they would meet us at the front door, and we would walk in, and I had like 8 or 9 of us, and all of that equipment, and we would go in the room, and on my signal, the light would go on, the volume on the ghetto blasters would go loud, we would start caking, and oh yeah, by the way, there was one other piece of equipment. Somebody was holding a video camera, and the video camera was because we were going to catch that rude awakening, and it was definitely going to show on Sunday morning in youth to embarrass the snot out of them. Guys, I can't tell you, oh gosh, we videoed so many. There were desperate moments when this happened with these kids. We had kids, you know, scared to death, and their parents told us they were afraid of a wolf man growing up, and one of ours was a wolf. I mean, we would, clowns, all this stuff. Some of them would get up after, like, realizing, start swinging, coming after us, all this stuff. It was fun. It was a rude awakening. But here's what we discovered. When we rudely awakened them, they were in a desperate moment. They were really in a desperate moment. And here's what we see happen with the prodigal son in Luke 15. Things had gotten so bad, so desperate, that he had this rude awakening, a desperate moment, where he discovered that he found himself living and eating with pigs. And it was in that desperate moment that he finally came to his senses, and he decided, I'm going to stop running. So my question for you today, if you're in a distant country and you're struggling and wondering, what do I do and how do I get back to the Father's house? If you're there, I'm going to ask you point blank, what will it take? What's it going to take for you to stop running? In my numerous years of ministries, I have heard so many stories of aha, desperate moment situations. And these are just to name a few, maybe to help you think about what will it take. I stopped running from God when I came to the realization that I had been blaming my child's behaviors on my lack of quality parenting. I stopped running from God when he or she filed for divorce. I stopped running from God when people finally found out what I was hiding. I stopped running from God when the pregnancy test came back positive. I stopped running from God when the IRS finally investigated all of my years of tax evasion and lying on my income tax return. I stopped running from God when I woke up in a hospital after an overdose. I stopped running from God when I found myself in the back seat of a police car, handcuffed. I realized I had nowhere to go. That's when I stopped running from God. Friends, all of those that I just listed, just a few examples, all of those are what we would call a pig pen moment. A desperate moment. Hopefully for you to come to terms to wake up. There's probably two primary ways that we arrive at a desperate moment in our life. I'll talk briefly about these and we'll keep moving. Number one is this: difficult circumstances. Difficult circumstances. And the second one, deserved consequences. Difficult circumstances kind of look like this with our prodigal son. Luke 15:14, Jesus tells us about a difficult circumstance the son experienced. He said, there was a severe famine in that country. It wasn't until things got really, really hard for the son that he finally realized and experienced a spiritual awakening. Now, it's worth noting that difficult circumstances don't always wake us up. Difficult circumstances, which is one of the two ways of a desperate moment, difficult circumstances sometimes just cause you to get uncomfortable while you're sleeping, to where you want to roll over to the cool side of the pillow and reposition your body so you can fall back asleep. That's one difficult circumstance that you just didn't pay attention to. The truth is, here's what I've seen in too many people's lives in the many years of ministry. Disappointment will often bring you to one of two different responses. One, you will either cry out to God in desperation. Two, you will get back in your sin car and you will travel farther in the distant country in sin. And I'm here to tell you, friends, there is no middle ground. When you have a desperate moment with a difficult circumstance, you will do one of two things. I have seen it time and time and time again. You will either finally cry out to God, or you will keep traveling farther in the distant country. The scripture is really clear about how God uses difficult circumstances. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, for God sometimes uses sorrow in our lives to help us turn away from sin and seek eternal life. Notice it doesn't say God causes. It says God uses. And that's because there's nothing that God does that's accidental. Everything that God does is intentional. So when God uses godly sorrow in your life, do you just cry out and say, woe is me, while you're filling up the gas tank of your sin vehicle to travel farther? Or do you finally realize God is using this? The alarm is sounding. I need to turn myself around. How about deserved consequences? It's also worth noting sometimes God gets our attention through difficult circumstances like we just talked about. But more oftentimes he brings up a desperate moment through deserved consequences. In our parable, Jesus pointed out that the son had spent all his money on wild living. This was prior to, remember, this was prior to the famine coming to the country, which was a difficult circumstance. But this was also a deserved consequence because he had spent all his money on wild living. That's nobody else's fault but his, right? The money was gone. There was no one to blame for himself, meaning his own actions and his own choices brought upon his consequences. You see, celebrators, when you're in a distant country, it's only a matter of time before your decisions catch up with you. And it's in that desperate moment that you will either cry out to God or you will keep traveling farther into the distant country. Now, this next part I want you to grab, and we're almost done, I promise, because we'll talk about the third point real quick. But if you're a note taker, you need to write this down. This is powerful. This blew me away when I discovered this. So please, please write this down. This is what you need to understand about desperate moments. Desperation reveals dependence. Write this down. Desperation reveals dependence. The son's desperation after running out of money and having a famine force him into a pig pen revealed that he'd been dependent upon his father his whole life. And guess what? He still was. He still was. Think about this. Let this sink in. He grew up in his father's house. He ate his father's food. He was sustained by his father's provision. He was clothed by his father's money. And in order, get this, in order to make a break from his father, where did he turn for his funding? His father. Oh my gosh. He went to the man he wanted to leave to ask for the money so he could afford to do what he wanted. Do you realize how much this happens in your life as you leave the Father's house? Let this sink in. Grab this thought, friends. Even in his rebellion, he was dependent on the Father. Are you kidding me? What are you talking? We blame God when we end up here. Think about this. This is a huge idea. What, friends? How desperate does your situation have to get before you realize your dependence? And you're desperate crying out for independence. You need to realize that you are dependent. And anybody that has traveled to that distant country and has been there for any significant amount of time and had a tragedy in their life that it finally hit rock bottom, they had the desperate moment, difficult circumstance, they woke up, they heard the alarm, they finally went back to the Father's house, they will be the first one to tell you this. What got me back to the Father was when I realized that I couldn't exist without the Father. They realized, just like today, if you realize that you will not take your next breath without God giving you your next breath. You will not have the legs to stand on without God giving you the ability to stand. And God, in his amazing love, grace, mercy, compassion, kindness, even in your rebellion, he reminds you how dependent you are upon him, but you are so oblivious. I'm sorry if I'm being mean today. I told you I haven't preached for 6 weeks. My wife is always telling me in a kind and compassionate way, because she's amazing, you need to be more sympathetic. You need to be more empathetic, Josh. I try. That's the best I got. I try, but I'm a little bit of a concoction of Paul and Peter. Sometimes I want to do this, but Paul in me says, no, just say it this way, okay? So with that being said, I only say it this way because I love you passionately and deeply, okay? Just cool, we good? Okay. I promise you, friends, this is a reality. And if I set up a microphone right here and had people come up and tell you what it's like to be there, and now that they're back there, they will sit here and they will tell you one thing. Yep, the money's going to run out. The famine's going to come. And you need to start today and realize what's it going to take for you to wake up and come to your senses. Briefly, last part of AHA, sudden awakening, in particular with startling realizations. First one came to his senses. Second one was, we just talked about it, desperate moments, sorry. Desperate moments and startling realizations. In Luke 15:17, we read about the son's startling realization. It reads, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death." That, friends, is a startling realization. When you are far from here, when you're far from there in a distant country, you know what you often tend to do? I've heard this so many times. I've heard people start comparing yourselves to other people that are back there in the Father's house, and you're wondering, that's just, gosh, what it would be like to get back there, and they're just so perfect and all that stuff or whatever. Listen, I don't claim to be in the Father's house at all times because I still have keys to a sin car. Okay, but I have come to terms and realized that it's a whole lot better here than it is here. I have. So my desire is to not get in that car, kind of leave it in the garage, you know, covered up from the dust storms and as much as possible. All right. But people look to other people and they're like, gosh, that Matt Balgard, he just got it all together. You know what I'm saying? And in that moment when you're first saying, gosh, look at even Matt, he's back there. Man, if I could just be like that, if I could just be like Ben, if I could just be like Claire Barrett, you know what I'm saying? If I could just be like Ellie Whitaker, these people, if I could just, you know, be like Mary and Larry Priest, and gosh, you know, all this.
Look at how good they have it.
You know what they would say to you? They would say this. I've been to the distant country. Too many times than I would have liked to have traveled there. But here's what I've come to learn. I've had a spiritual aha. A sudden awakening that's led to brutal honesty, that's led to immediate action, which has led me to this. I'm not asking or looking for I'm not looking for momentary change. I'm looking for lasting change. And I've realized that right here is where the goodness lasts forever. That's the place. He had a startling realization. Look at all those people back there. They're servants. They're being fed better than me. And here I am starving to death. You come to a realization. I'm just wondering if you've ever had a startling realization in your distant country. You've come to that moment where you've kind of discovered that, hey, listen, you know what? I'm trying to live out my Christian life my way, the way that I think it needs to happen, your power, your strength, other than the power of the Holy Spirit. And remember what we just talked about? Forget the whole first part of my idea at the beginning about self-help. You can't self-help yourself anywhere. But yet you've been trying to live this Christian life that God gave you for free, your way, as opposed to his way. Look, the alarm is... That's an alarm. No, that's your alarm. Where are you at in the distant country?
I'm in my father's house.
Criticizing boss. While preaching. That was awesome. I didn't set my alarm. All right, real quick. For the prodigal son, it finally came to the right time, the right place, that he had a startling realization, that he woke up and he was brought to his senses. And if you found yourself searching, what does that startling realization look for? What does it look for? I get this all the time. Tell me what it looks like. Here's what I would tell you. Ready? Listen to me. Shut your face. Stop talking. Look at where your talking has gotten you. Far, far away. Your way has gotten you way, way, way from where you want to be. So I would start there, and that was kind of the unkind of way of saying it, so I'll say it the kind way. If you want to know what a starting realization looks like, start here. Solitude and silence. You know how silent it must have been in a pig pen? With just you and the pigs. Please catch this, friends. Don't miss this. You may have found that God has been trying to get your attention for a while, but you haven't been able to hear him. Huh? Why? Not because he hasn't been loud enough, but because you haven't been quiet enough. Sometimes we want to seize and take control of aha, but aha cannot be seized. It can only be received. That requires you to go against all human intuition and be silent and solace. Psalms 46:10 best supports the idea. Be still and know that I am God. You know why most of us can't be still? Because we think we're God. I love that definition of stillness. It kind of means something like this. Silence on the outside and surrender on the inside. That's when we realize how great is our God. Aha begins with stillness. Sudden awakening. Let's wrap this up for the day. Stand on your feet with your heads bowed and eyes closed. Let me invite you back next week. Brutal honesty. Come on back. Listen, you really need to hear all 3 weeks, because you can't just have an awakening and then not go to honesty. And then not, because you're after lasting change. And that's what we're after, that immediate action and moving back to the Father's house. So please come back and join us. And remember, if you come this week at this time, you will be helping us break down. Because we don't have church at 10:45 next week. It's a holiday weekend. We've decided to do one service, 9 o'clock a.m. So please remember that. Remember that, all right? 9 o'clock next week. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I just want to wrap up with just a few questions for you today to think about, okay? Number one is this. How far do you think you are into the distant country today in your life? Do you realize that sin is the vehicle that got you there? Do you realize that? Are you sleeping through? Are you snoring through? Or are you just snoozing the alarms that are sounding in your life? What's it going to take for you to wake up and come to your senses? Here's what I know, friends. Here's what I know. I've come to the place in my life, and I am far, far from perfect. But I've come to the point in my life that I have crossed a threshold in my spiritual walk with Jesus that I don't want to spend much of my life missing out on what God wants me to see now. I want to see what he wants me to see today. I don't want to come to my senses like 25 years later on in life and look back and see what I missed. Because I got in a vehicle called sin and drove away from my Father's house. I just don't want that. I don't want to wake up later in my life. And guys, because I love you, I don't want that for you either. So where do we start today? How do I do this? Because, you know, every week is important in having a spiritual aha moment. So here's where you would need to start today. I'm wondering if maybe you came to your senses today. You've had a desperate moment that you realized, yep, that was it. And today you had a startling realization. And you realize, I'm in a distant country. I heard the alarm today, and I'm ready to go back home. So here's where I would start today. We're going to sing a song after I pray, and there's going to be some counselors standing in the front with these little lanyards on. Here's what I would encourage you to do today. What is the sin in your life? Where in the distant country are you? Remember what we said. What are the places, or where are the places that God has not allowed? You will not have a sudden awakening until and unless you can realize the sin in your life. So today, let's start there. Come forward as we sing. Ask these counselors to help you. They will not judge you. They will not criticize you. They will welcome you with open arms. They have been to the distant country themselves, and they want to help you confront your sin and buy the vehicle called forgiveness that comes with the warranty called repentance. That just came to me. That's pretty cool. And start driving back to the Father through forgiveness and repentance. Let's start there today, if that's you. Let me pray for us. Jesus, thanks for my friends. I love you. Thank you for the opportunity to share truth. I pray maybe somebody today had a sudden awakening and they realize I'm far from you. I want to come home. Help them deal with the sin that's in their life. Then help us over the next few weeks, Lord, as we talk about brutal honesty with things. And then work towards immediate action that leads to lasting change. We give you this today in your Son's precious and holy, holy, holy name, and all God's people said.